My friend, don't give up, don't throw in the towel too quickly. Don't be so quick to want to disobey God and follow man. Wait patiently on the Lord. Do it God's way, and God will bless you.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. We welcome our listeners back to hear this concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's message entitled, How to Turn Your Setback into a Comeback. Pastor Grant's message is taken from the book of 1 Samuel and chapter 30, where is recorded David's turnaround victory over the Amalekites. In the first part of his message, Pastor Grant used this account to illustrate how modern saints, though suffering painful and discouraging setbacks as did David, can take courage from the ways in which David strengthened himself and set himself up for a dramatic comeback. We heard how David took the risk of being vulnerable. We heard how he strengthened himself in the Lord, and we broke where Pastor Grant was getting to the next part of principle, David patiently seeking God's direction. So listen with us now as Pastor Grant picks up on that point in his message, How to Turn Your Setback into a Comeback. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
And principle number 3, we must patiently seek God's direction. We must patiently seek God's direction. Here is in verse number 7. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. David asked the priest to bring the ephod. Now you may say, what in the world is this ephod? You know, sometimes we don't get a chance to talk all about this stuff, but you know, the ephod was an apron-like garment that was worn by the high priest, okay? So it's an apron-like garment worn by the high priest, which contained two things, the Urim and the Thummim. The sacred stones that were used to discern the will of God. How did these sacred stones help? I don't know. As I did my reading, some scholars say that it was believed that the sacred stones would light up and that would help them to discern whether God was saying yes or no. I don't know. The Bible never says so. So I'm going to stay silent since the Bible does not tell us how does the Urim and the Thummim, how do they help them to discern God's will? But what we do know is that God revealed his will so clearly that David knew exactly what God was saying. Do you know that God can reveal his will to you very clearly? And that you can clearly know? You know, I got a big black book here. You know, I remember once upon a time, my father-in-law, he said a lady came to him and she said to him, you know, she had all this revelation from God and she pulled out a little black book and she said, Pastor Hart or whatever, she said, Charlie, she said, God has some things for you and it's in my little black book. And Brother Charles said to her, you know, my dear, I have a big black book. He said, I have a big black book, and I have a feeling that what God wants to tell me is in his big black book. Somebody ought to say amen this morning. Do you have a big black book? Oh, it might not be a big one. In fact, some of the young people have it on their phones. Although, by the way, young people, as much as I have no problem with you using your phones, I honestly believe that there is a lot to be gained from actually having a Bible that you mark and that you actually see it. This is me saying that. I can't prove it to you in the Bible. I would encourage you, even if you don't do it here, make sure when you're at home, and you mark certain pages and you look. I know you're going to bookmark it, but something tells me it's not going to be exactly the same. But hallelujah, God's word, as we hide it in our hearts. Hide it in our hearts. Oh, we need to get back to the good old days where we memorize scripture. I hope the Sunday school and the VBS is encouraging memorization of scripture so we can hide God's word in our heart, so God can use the word of God at the right time to help to guide us into the will and the mind of God. Amen. So where do you get your direction? I get to find out that some folks are getting their direction from Dr. Phil or Oprah. I guess she's not as big anymore. But then I see every now and then I see this lady on TV. I can't even pronounce her name. What is it? Iyanla? Is it Iyanla? Iyanla Van Sant. And sometimes she's shouting at everybody. She's shouting at everybody. And then I read that Amazon tells me that the number one relationship guru today is none other than my boy, Steve Harvey. I don't know if I'm going to him for relationship advice. My friend, listen. I'm not saying that everything he says is crazy. But I hear him give advice so many times that is contrary to what this black book says. And I'm going to suggest to you, my friend, no matter who you are, that you must take God's word seriously and listen, patiently seek God's direction. Patiently seek God's direction. Look, we're going to put this verse up on the board for you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. We all know it. A lot of us know these verses. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. Read it with me. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. In how many ways? Oh, help me out. Did it really say that? Come on. Are you telling me that when there's, as our brother said last week, are you telling me that when there's more month at the end of the money, you must still acknowledge God in all your ways? Are you really serious that it's not better for me to go and join the lotto line? Oh, I'm glad I don't think I'm stoning anybody because I don't know if you're in there or not. Although I've seen it, be honest with you, I've seen Christians in the line. I haven't seen any of you, so I'm not talking about you. You know, I used to tell young people, and I'm off on my tangent a little bit, but let me say this. I used to say to young people, all you young people who are playing the lotto and you pay all this money every week hoping to be a millionaire, did you realize if you invested the money, you would become a millionaire? Are you aware of that? I'm just giving you an aside. Are you aware that if you were to faithfully invest the exact amount of money that you're playing with the lottery and the lotto over time, if invested in a mutual fund, you would be a millionaire? I'm leaving that alone. But I am encouraging you, my brother and sister, in how many ways? In all your ways, acknowledge him. It's time to give up the lotto. It's time to give up Atlantic City Casino. It's time to stop being greedy when the Powerball hits 400 million. It's time when the relationship gets into drama. Even when the relationship is in drama, let's do it God's way. Because some of you right now are in a challenging time. I am sure there are people here this morning who are facing setbacks, and some of you are considering solutions to your setback. And I'm here this morning. God has sent me here to tell you that as you try to decide what to do about your setback, make sure the decision you're about to make is in line with the Word of God, is in line with God's will. Make sure, brother and sister in Jesus Christ, that you do it God's way, that you patiently seek God's direction. I said patiently. You see, right this time, David got his answer right away. But David also knows that sometimes he had to wait a long time. And this is why in Psalm 40, verse 1, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. My friend, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel too quickly. Don't be so quick to want to disobey God and follow man. Wait patiently on the Lord. Do it God's way, and God will bless you. Amen. Principle number 4. Be confident that God is working for your good. Did you hear me? Be confident that God is working for your good. And this is so important. It is one thing to wait for God's direction, but sometimes your brain is going to tell you that God's direction seems to have some deficiency. And unless you are committed to the idea that God is working for your good, you're going to make some mistakes. Look with me at verses 9 and 10. So David went, he and 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. David pursued, he and 400, for 200 stayed behind, because they were too tired. Can you imagine how David must have felt? You're on a mission with 600 people, you're already short, and a third of the army. I bet you this never happened before. Where 200 of his guys just said, we can't go no more. And David is saying, he must have wondered. This ain't working out the way it's supposed to be. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a situation where you think you're following God's will and it just doesn't seem to be working out the way that it's supposed to work out? What do you do when it don't seem to be working out? You obey God. You obey God. That's what you do.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
God is always working things out for our good. Hold your finger right where you are and turn, therefore, to a New Testament passage. I'm taking you, of course, to Romans chapter 8. I'm taking you to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, if you don't mind going there with me. Romans chapter 8, and I hope we can read verse 28 in Romans chapter 8. And here is how it reads. And we what? And we know that what? Oh, here goes that word all again. God, please stop telling us about these all things. We know what? We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Notice there's another qualifier again. To those who what? All things are working, but for those who what? Love God. Do you love him? Do you love him? This morning he is going to be inviting some of you to fall in love with him. Some of you once walked with him, but you've sort of drifted. And he's saying, fall in love with me over again. I love that song. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. All things are working together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. How many things? Oh, hallelujah. Well, well, well. Do you know the story about Joseph and Jacob? You remember what happened to Joseph? Poor Joseph, he had a lot of things against him. I'm praying that I think the Lord is laying on my heart to give you a short series in the fall on the life of Joseph. But you know, poor boy, so much was working against him. Boy, the brothers, can you imagine the brothers sold him? Threw him in a pit. Oh my goodness. He went through all this drama. And now Joseph is what? Where is he now? He is the prime minister of Egypt. Well, back home in Canaan, things were tough. There was a severe famine. And all of his family were in trouble. It got so bad that his daddy Jacob finally said to the boys, his sons, he says, they got food over there in Egypt, thanks to Joseph following God. Oh, that's for that series I'm preaching. But come back to today's story. In today's story, Jacob says, they got food in Egypt. Go and get some food. We're going to all die. The brothers go to Egypt. You remember that? They go to Egypt. And by the God who works all things together for our good, this God causes that Jacob's sons are now in the presence of their brother Joseph. They don't recognize him. Does Joseph recognize them? Joseph knows exactly who they are. And Joseph devises a plan that is designed to save his father and all his brothers and their families. He designs a plan. And part of the plan, he holds on to Simeon. And now he sends the boys back to their dad. And now he says, go and get me your youngest brother. You remember that part of the story? Well, here we are. And we've got to turn to it. We got to turn to it and see it for ourselves. Hold it. You're still in 1 Samuel. But jump now to Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42. Genesis 42. Don't worry. I'm not going to be much longer. Genesis 42. 35, here's what it says. Then it happened as they emptied their sacks. This is the brothers. The brothers are back home with daddy. As they emptied their sacks, that surprisingly each man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. Because they were afraid because they figure the king, the prime minister of Egypt, is going to say, you robbed me. They're scared to death. And you remember now, their brother. He has their brother. And Jacob, their father, said to them, when he saw the money and he realizes Simeon is in trouble and they want another son, you have bereaved me. But of course, he goes right back to Joseph. Joseph is no more. In other words, Joseph is dead. Simeon, he's probably dead. And you want to take Benjamin also? And what does he say? He says, all these things are what? Against me. All these things are against me. Was everything really against him? No. Joseph was totally wrong. This was the best thing that could have ever happened to him. For the great turnaround specialist was about to do an incredible turnaround in his life. Very shortly, God, the great turnaround specialist, was going to let Jacob come to find out that Joseph was very much alive and that Joseph was going to provide for all of them. Oh, I'm talking to somebody I know that right now you have come into God's house and you are counting all the things that are against you. It seems like the world is against you. Everything is against you. But I'm here this morning to say, just like Joseph was wrong, just like Jacob was wrong, you are wrong, because God wants to do a miracle and he wants to give you a big comeback today. Principle 5, 1 Samuel chapter 30. Principle number 5, 1 Samuel 30, verse 11. They found an Egyptian in the field, brought him to David. He gave him bread and he ate. Thank God. I tell you, when God starts working in your life, even before you have achieved your comeback, you're not so focused on your own self. It's not all about me, and woe is me. David has compassion on this man. He takes him, he feeds him very nicely, and then he asks him, "Who are you?" Turns out that the man is an Egyptian slave. They have left him, abandoned him, because he was sick, and they don't want no sick people with them. They have abandoned him. He was a part of the capture. He knows exactly where the folks are. Let me ask you something. Who do you think caused all this to happen? Who orchestrated? Who orchestrated that David runs into the very man who knows where the folks are? When you determine to follow, and I'm saying this from experience, when you determine to follow God's leading, you will look back in amazement at how God has worked in your life. It will blow your mind as to how God has worked when you decide, "I am going to wholeheartedly pursue God's will." And so I close. You know, some of you know that my dad is one of my great heroes. You know, my dad was one of those who had so many setbacks. He came from an acutely dysfunctional family. You've heard me say, I've never heard my grandmother's name. I don't know my grandfather's name. I think I found it recently, because I think we found a birth certificate and it was on there. But we know nothing about them. He had little or no education. He had little or no prospects for the future. All these things seemed to be against him. But he met Jesus. He met Jesus. And he decided he would wholeheartedly follow Jesus. Wholeheartedly follow Jesus. God began a comeback in his life. A comeback that not only impacted our family for God, but impacted communities for God. And I believe that, I'm sure hundreds, but I believe there are going to be thousands in heaven, because this simple little man who had so many setbacks had decided he was going to follow Jesus. Oh, as for me, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. This morning, God invites you to do the same.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that,
and mean it, God will hear you, and He will answer your prayer, and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It would certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.